How are our colleagues around Europe dealing with the economic crisis and the austerity regimes being enforced by governments on the instructions of Europe? While some countries like Greece and Italy have looked to the far right, Spain has looked to provincialism. Elections in the Basque Country, Galicia and Catalonia have showed nationalist parties doing well. I'm joined from London by Maria Margaronis of The Nation, who has written extensively on the Golden Dawn, the right-wing movement in Greece, and by Joe Haslam, professor at the IE Business School in Madrid from Spain. But first, let's have a listen to this Golden Dawn protest in Greece as they shout, "Blood, honour, Golden Dawn." And that's very dramatic. Maria, yes. We've heard that there and we've pointed it up, but how obvious are the activities of Golden Dawn?
Well, it depends where you are, although they do have popularity now across Greece. They're polling at about 10%. They're third in the opinion polls. In the centre of Athens, where there are a lot of refugees and migrants, their activities are really very obvious. There's a lot of violence against migrants or people suspected of being migrants, to the point that the American State Department actually issued a warning to American tourists of colour thinking of visiting Athens. They have opened offices in many towns all over Greece lately, and they win popularity by handing out free food in impoverished neighbourhoods, and by whipping up this patriotic, so-called patriotic rhetoric, which is both against immigrants in Greece and against the European Union and the IMF.
They have done quite a lot of unspeakable things to immigrants, and
indeed,
there's loads of examples. Caillou Ligopora of the Athens Tanzanian Community Association, premises vandalised by about 80 local residents, so-called. He's lived in Greece for, what, 20 years?
20 years, but he told me he's beginning to think about leaving. One of the most worrying things about Golden Dawn is its relationship with parts of the Greek police and indeed with the Greek state. We've actually had a big escalation of violence in Athens the last few days. We're getting now into a very worrying cycle of mistrust and repression and violence, where the police cleared a long-standing anarchist squat and arrested 92 people in an area where Golden Dawn has been very strong in Athens, and where the anarchists from this squat have actually been the last people standing up against Golden Dawn in the neighbourhood. And since then, we've had firebombs at a number of journalists' homes and a number of party offices of PASOK and New Democracy, the two main parties in the coalition. And last night, 9 Kalashnikov shots were fired into the office of the Greek Prime Minister. Not, as far as we know, by Golden Dawn. We don't know who fired these shots. A far-left anarchist group, we think, has claimed the attacks on journalists' homes. But what we have is a situation where the government and the left party Syriza are sort of trading insults. The government has accused Syriza of supporting this violence. Meanwhile, the government itself has not done anything to stop the violence of Golden Dawn, which is ongoing.
Tell me about the leader of Golden Dawn. Who is he?
Nikolaos Michaloliakos was someone who met some of the leaders of the Greek junta that ruled the country from 67 to 74 while he was in prison for arms offences in the 70s. He then started a magazine called Golden Dawn, which is clearly neo-Nazi in that it, for example, suggested that Greece should have been at the side of the Axis during the Second World War. As you probably know, Greece suffered a bitter occupation during the Second World War, and had even more far-out ideas in the sense of suggesting that Greece should return to the Olympian gods, that these were the true roots of Arianism, that Christianity has brought Jewish obscurantism into Europe, and so on and so forth. They started to gain popularity in the 90s over the issue of the name of the former Yugoslav Republic of Macedonia. And then with an influx of migrants into Greece in the 90s and in the early 2000s, they gain more and more and more support. But it's really the crisis that has brought them the support they have.
Looking at some of the rhetoric, we want you to join the struggle for Greece. Don't rent your house to foreigners. Don't employ them. We want all illegal foreigners out of our country. We want the usurers of the Troika and the IMF out of our country forever.
Yes, that's right. And the word usurers in Greek, tokoglyphi, is a very nasty word. It literally means interest liquors, and it has a clear anti-Semitic subtext to it.
Now, the Golden Dawn movement has also been quite clever in occupying some of the space that formerly was occupied by the state. The state can't afford to help people as much as it did, and they move in.
Yes, especially in terms of security, that is what they call security, which means clearing, as they say, immigrants from squares in Athens, where they've, you know, often have been sleeping rough because they have nowhere to go. Greece has a very large number of refugees and undocumented migrants there because it's the first place they get to trying to get to the EU. And under the Dublin II regulation, which you probably know about, refugees have to claim asylum in the first country they get to, and it's very difficult for all kinds of reasons for people to then leave Greece and come to Northern Europe where they want to go. So that in some areas of central Athens, there are very large numbers of migrants struggling to survive alongside Greeks who are also struggling because of the economic crisis. So Golden Dawn will move in and beat people up to get them out of these neighbourhoods. There's a story that you hear all the time in Athens that if you have squatters in your apartment and you call the police, they will send you to Golden Dawn, or that Golden Dawn will come and clear your apartment. I'm not sure how many actual cases of this there have been. It's one of those, partly one of those urban myths. But there is a sense in which people turn to Golden Dawn to sort out those kinds of problems of crime. And Golden Dawn also does hand out food, but to Greeks only. They also hold blood drives for Greeks only. And they have started an employment service for Greeks only, which I think involves going around to workshops and factories and seeing how many foreign workers they have there and suggesting to them very strongly that they get rid of them.
Now, this is very reminiscent of Germany in the 1930s.
Indeed. And in fact, Prime Minister Samaras said in October in Paris that Greece is coming to resemble Weimar.
They also, well, they don't quite have the skills of the Third Reich in putting on displays, but they do, they know the value of, if you like, extravaganza.
They do. They're very into physical fitness. A lot of their supporters are young men, although I also met several young women who support them. They run self-defence classes for women, but there are gyms which they go to. They're into football. One of their MPs has a shop in Athens which sells bova boots and you know, black leather gloves and pit bull shirts and Lazio t-shirts and so on. And they're into spectacle, and they make people feel in some strange way secure. What I think is difficult to understand unless you've lived through, are living in that crisis, is how deeply psychologically destabilizing it is for people and how deeply people have lost faith in the old mainstream politicians which brought the country to this place.
Now, is there an awareness in the Troika, is there an awareness in Brussels of this process, which could have, you know, austerity has an intended consequence, but there may be an unintended consequence, much more dangerous for Europe.
Yes, and there must obviously be an awareness, and one would think that in Germany in particular, the implications of this would be clear. But you have to remember that Golden Dawn is polling at 10%. The left party Syriza is polling in the high 20s. It's only just been overtaken by New Democracy in the polls. And I think there's actually been a lot more concern about that. Syriza's leader, Alexis Tsipras, is actually in Berlin today meeting with Wolfgang Schäuble, the German finance minister, which will be interesting to hear what comes out of that meeting. But the attention of both the government and, I think, the European Union has been not on Golden Dawn, but on the potential rise of the left.
The infiltration of elements of the security service, and you've talked about the police not being particularly open to hearing the complaints of immigrants who are being attacked. But the infiltration of security services, someone has said this is much more dangerous than a coup, because at least with a junta, you know who they are.
Yes, it's it's not just the security services, it's a sense that people's faith in democracy has collapsed and that the state is now... the state security services are now suspect, so that you don't know who your enemy is exactly. You don't know who to stand up against. And the fact that the government has moved gradually up to the right, especially on immigration, and has been applying this useless and very repressive plan called Xenios Zephs, Zeus the Hospitaller, to round up migrants on the streets of Athens, and occasionally a few tourists too, means that this far-right rhetoric has been legitimised in many ways.
And the problem being that one of the businesses which can continue to thrive is tourism, but who wants to go to Athens under circumstances like this?
Exactly. And this is one of the most worrying aspects of this whole thing.
All right, Joe Haslam, a professor at the IE Business School in Madrid, has been listening to this. It's not like that in Spain, Joe.
No. There's nothing like that. I would give three reasons for it, two of which Maria mentioned. The first is that 1975 is still quite a recent, which was the end of the General Franco's regime. That's still quite a recent time. Many people remember what that was like and have no wish to go back. It wasn't really all that great. The second reason is the economics, which is that Spain is not a bailed out country. Things still work quite well. Yes, austerity is hitting, but it's certainly nothing like when I talk to my colleagues in Greece. It's certainly nothing like that. And I guess the final thing then is the migrants, the people that come from Latin America and North America, generally integrate very well. They speak Spanish, and in the case of the North Americans, a lot of them, going back to hundreds of years in Spain, a lot of them look very like the people who are in southern Spain. So in that sense, Spain is, has nothing like that.
So what they do have, though, is a growing sense of nationalism in various areas.
Yes, that's very true. If, people who are disenchanted with, austerity, particularly cuts in health and education, they have, nationalist parties that they can appeal to, particularly in Catalonia, the Basque Country, and in Galicia. There isn't a lot of different, but they are just appealing that. They are appealing to very nationalist sentiments. But certainly, apart from a small incident maybe in Catalonia, there's certainly been no suggestion whatsoever of anything like what's been happening in Greece.
However, the rise of, if you like, provincial nationalism could have implications for Madrid. I know recently in Catalonia, when I was there, there was a sense that if we didn't have to pay central government all this money, we would be financially fine.
Yes, that's true. But then a lot of the criticisms, particularly in the case of corruption, a lot of the things that they criticise for Madrid for are actually happening by different people on a local scale. So you do have a situation where it's like you're bad, but, you're bad as well, which is it's very dangerous because nobody is starting to talk about the real issues. Rather than talking about nationalism and corruption, Spain needs to be talking much more about things like keeping the banking losses off the sovereign.
Which is something we fervently would have wished for, but did not succeed in doing. So do you think there is any real threat to the coherence of Spain?
I wouldn't think so. Spain is a very big country. People tend to look at local factors rather than national factors. I think also the political system makes it very hard to get power. It's a list system, and it's very much dominated by the two big parties and also, also the way in which they work with the media. Generally, media debates have two people, one of one side, and it's harder for the smaller parties to get in. You can find things. There's graffiti that you'll find, and there are actual smaller far-right parties in existence that do contest election. And maybe in football stadia and related to that, you see certain things as well. But in general, I think Spain has, I literally couldn't see anything happening, on a scale that's what's happening in Greece. The economic situation would have to deteriorate substantially before anything like that would even be on the agenda.
So Spain still sees itself very much at the heart of European affairs and is not going to jeopardise it. Maria Margaronis in the London Bureau of the Nation. Maria, you would wish it were so in Greece, but clearly things are much more critical.
Well, yes, I think I'm always intrigued by the fact that in Spain unemployment is almost as high as it is in Greece. Mm-hmm. Greece is now has the highest unemployment in Europe, and yet there doesn't seem to be the same kind of political collapse.
Well, maybe Joe can explain. Joe, can you explain that? Why there isn't the same degree of violence, antipathy towards government?
Well, I think certainly the gap between rich and poor, between Spain and Greece would be difficult. Certainly, again, we have a number of students at our business school from Greece who admit that the really rich people in Greece live, really, really well.
And this is true.
That would very much be an issue. I think also the pensions continue to be paid, unemployment continues to be paid, and you're guaranteed this €400 function for long-term unemployed, and that tends to keep a lid on things. The other issue is the family, which is families support people very well. But Spain, tourism is up, exports are up.
Yes.
Spain economically is in quite good shape, and the hospitals are all very good, the schools are all very good. Spain is kind of self-inflicting wounds, but it's still running quite well.
But just to explain that business, if you're a job seeker, you've got 400 a month, is that right?
No, that's to do with the long-term unemployed. Yes, if you are a job seeker, I don't think my own experience is that many of them are long, in sectors which it's almost impossible to find jobs or are not seeking. But there is a basic amount of money that you're given, which you can live on quite comfortably. €400 goes a long way in Spain, and that keeps a lid very much on protest.
And Maria, that's not the case in Greece, one presumes.
No, it's very different in Greece, where, for example, if you're unemployed, you lose your health insurance after a year, so we are now having serious medical issues with unvaccinated children and people unable to access healthcare, and a general collapse of the health system, and where again the family has traditionally been very, very strong, but the strains of the crisis really affect families too.
Yeah.
You have several generations crammed together in small apartments, people living on their elderly parents' pensions, and a real feel of social collapse.
This is the true face of austerity. I suppose the difference in Greece, there wouldn't be a huge amount of mortgage debt compared to Ireland, and that's the critical problem we have.
No, we don't have a huge amount of mortgage debt. But what there is Greece went through a massive sort of building boom in the 70s and 80s, and everybody who could bought an extra little apartment or something here and there and supplemented their income by renting it. And that market is collapsing. Plus, there are now high property taxes and this extra property tax tagged onto people's electricity bill, which people are finding very, very difficult to pay. So that reliance on rental properties has also really impacted people's pocketbooks.
Yeah. All right, we will leave it there. Maria Margaronis, thank you very much. And Professor Joe Haslam, thank you very much. We'll have news up after this.